You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two, Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson.
Yo.
Scott Angle.
Yep.
Dan White. Matt Modica. Sorry, I'm just reading a tweet here. And also, thoughts, man, to Vegas. This is crazy. This is what we're being
tweeted. Yeah, that's
about.
Wild. That's where I'm at. That's
wild. Yeah. We'll keep it tall.
That's wild. What's going on in Las Vegas? This is another tragedy. You know what I'm saying? So, you need to send thoughts and prayers out to everybody in Las Vegas right now. It's crazy right now.
Yeah, prayers to Vegas.
Jesus. All right. Let's get back into the team that's actually headed to Las Vegas in just a couple of years from now. The Oakland Raiders. They fell to Denver yesterday, 16-10. You guys are right. You got to be concerned about Demaryius Thomas. And Scotty, I got the wrong tight end, but I knew the tight end from Denver was going to do something. I just got the wrong one. It was your boy, A.J. Derby.
Yeah, A.J. Derby with a terrific one-handed catch. But you expected more from this offense, but this sometimes happens in divisional games where it'll be lower scoring when you expect it. But Trevor Siemian, you know, those blow-up numbers after the first 2 weeks, there wasn't a whole lot of yardage attached to him, if I remember correctly. Trevor Siemian throws well from the pocket, but the book on him now, though, is if you can move him out of the pocket, he's going to be very uncomfortable throwing on the run. He's going to take sacks. You know, Trevor Siemian is what Corey says is a jag, and you know he doesn't.
He's efficient,
he doesn't challenge anybody downfield. He'll throw some high percentage passes, but you know that hurts Demaryius Thomas because Demaryius Thomas is a downfield guy. You know, it's you know, and maybe I'm guilty of getting lured into it, but you can't look at a guy after 2 weeks and say, you know, all of a sudden he's going to be a top 10 starter. I think I made a mistake ranking him on top 10 quarterbacks this week.
Yeah, I obviously did too. I started him everywhere. I was confident in him. And listen, when you face the Raiders, you have every right to be. Clearly, the game plan in this format is run the ball down their
throats. I think the game script at the half, you know, which almost bit them. Which almost came back
to
fight them.
Even with Derek Carr's injury.
You know, you shouldn't be taking, you know, I understand you got that defense and, you know, then the injury and stuff, but you got to keep trying to score and play out the game. Because, look, I mean, E.J. Manuel, because it was E.J. Manuel, obviously throws the interception.
Although Jared Cook dropped a touchdown.
Cook dropped a touchdown. Exactly. Manuel was dropping dimes yesterday. I was shocked.
Manuel looked good yesterday.
Yeah, he did look good. I was like, that's E.J. Manuel?
But going back to my point is that's why you can't take the pedal off the metal. You got to keep scoring in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, I always say that. We always say that when teams just kind of just put it into a shell, it's a mistake. But the reason E.J. Manuel was in the game with Scott was Derek Carr hurt his back. Jack didn't realize like his back spasms, but he's going to have an MRI tonight. Derek Carr, tough dude, left this game, like we said, same day Mariota left, the second consecutive year. How serious is Derek Carr's injury from what you're saying?
According to inside injuries, say that he's dealing with back spasms. You said, while this is a minor injury, it could affect him for weeks.
Well, Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders will see if he can come back next week. And if not, E.J. Manuel dropping dimes.
Yeah, E.J. Manuel dropping dimes.
When we come back, Michael Crabtree, Amari Cooper, Marshawn Lynch, only the Dallas Cowboys and Los Angeles Rams. That comes your way next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
So we told you Derek Carr hurt his back. E.J. Manuel dropping dimes, though. Probably one of the better quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks in the league, maybe?
I mean, this is one game. This is one game.
In relief.
But this is Denver. No fly zone, dropping dimes like that, 11 to 17.
Hey,
I was impressed.
I was impressed.
I thought, you don't ever want to hear EJ Manuel is warming up. No. You know what I'm saying?
It was impressive, but sometimes when a team like a backup quarterback will come
absolutely.
In. And the other team is not prepared for his style, they will get a little thrown off.
I agree with that. Yeah. We've seen that many times. Hey, Scott, now I do want to ask you, though, when it comes to Amari Cooper, listen. I get it, right? You're facing Denver's defense. If I hear no fly zone one more time, I heard that 75 times last week. So whatever. You're facing Denver's defense. They're not the 85 Bears, but you're facing a defense here with Aqib Talib, a very good secondary, a very very good safeties. But you said this, especially when it comes to. Like Dez Bryant, for instance, when he was starting off his really tough schedule, that the defense is not always going to win those matchups, right? Like, the really good wide receivers are going to win some of these matchups, and they're going to have solid games. Well, the problem I think I'm now facing here, Scott, I don't know that Amari Cooper is one of those guys. It's been like this all year, and yesterday it was more of the same, whether it was Derek Carr throwing the ball or whether it was EJ Manuel throwing the ball. As Amari Cooper finished with just 2 catches for 9 yards, he led this team with 8 targets. He was targeted a bunch. He could not come up with the grab. With the game on the line yesterday, he mistimed his jump, and the ball got intercepted. It was another brutal day from Amari Cooper. There was no Michael Crabtree. The Raiders needed their former top five guy to step up, and he absolutely did not again.
Well, here's the thing. Now, Cooper, we've seen some flashes. The talent is there. He's very young. I like him myself. But when you talk about a guy like Dez Bryant, Dez has earned that status of no matter who he faces, you put him in there. Amari Cooper, we've heard a lot, and we know the potential, but I don't think he's earned that. I think Stephon Diggs, you could argue that he's already earned it, by what he's done so far this season. Amari Cooper, we've heard a lot. He hasn't delivered the touchdowns, and early this season, the numbers just aren't there after week one. He hasn't earned that status of where, like, you lock him into your lineup. Like, he's a name because of the talent and the flashes that we've seen, but you cannot expect it's very hard to sit Amari Cooper. But what I'm saying is you cannot confidently start him in a matchup like this and expect results. You just can't.
It's kind of like a matchup, like any matchup right now. Listen, here's the thing with Amari Cooper. You know what talent doesn't do? Talent don't score no damn fantasy points. You feel what I'm saying?
Yep.
And listen, all the talent, and I'm a big fan of the kid. I got him in 3 or 4 places. You know what I'm saying? I am disgusted with his performance through the first 4 weeks of the season. He came out, he had that good performance in that first week, and he has just spit to bed week in and week out. He's not catching the football. He is playing terrible football right now. I think it's a mental thing with him. They got to figure out how to get this guy going. But here's the thing. You can't bench him.
Yeah, I'm with Corey here. Look, confidence is a big thing to me in anything in life, in your job, with anything you do. The more confident you are, the better you're at. And look, this kid has a wealth of talent, and it's just there. That's undeniable. The results have to he has to produce.
It's not like he's playing with a bad quarterback. It's not like he has no help in the offense and they can double cover him and he's the only guy.
He didn't have the help yesterday.
Yesterday he was even worse.
He needs to step up and be that guy. And just to point something out, according to @GrahamBarfield, an excellent follow on Twitter, Amari Cooper is on pace for 48. 440 and 4.
That's
horrific. 124 targets.
Right, and you know what? And if he finished, that's the pace of Taylor Gabriel. You know what I'm saying? That's Taylor Gabriel. Oh, this guy he needs to talk to his sports psychologist. They got to do something. They got to figure it out. Because if he can't catch the football, eventually the quarterback's going to lose confidence in him.
Yeah, and yesterday was the kind of thing where you expected to see that Roto World blurb after the game that he had a good game and the squeaky wheel got the grease. Because they had to get him going yesterday, and they didn't.
No, they didn't. They couldn't. It's his fault, too.
Yeah, no, look, I'm not going to make excuses for him. Like I said, I think there is a confidence factor right now as well.
I think it's a good point.
Not having Crabtree alongside him is, as much as people try to say, Crabtree caps his value. I think Crabtree helps him.
But
But I'm honestly going to look in trade leagues to, you know, see if I could possibly scoop him up.
You know what?
I feel you, though. You're right.
The difference is, to Greg's original point, if Dez is playing against Denver, he got in the end zone, right?
Yeah.
Dez relishes a matchup like that. The superstar wide receivers who produce every week want to go up against those top cover corners and test themselves. We can, to your point about confidence, I don't think Amari Cooper is there mentally.
I'm not calling out the dude's his mental ability or capability.
It has to be. Greg, dropping the football is mental.
He's already got more drops than all of last year.
Dropping the football is a mental. He dropped a pass yesterday that hit him square in his hands with nobody around him.
He's got more drops than he did all of last season.
All he's been hearing about is that he has to catch the ball, that he can't keep dropping. I mean, we keep hearing this repeatedly. You know, I don't care who you are. He's a human. It's going to,
it's affecting them.
If somebody said something like, I have to stop saying this word on the radio.
You're going to think about it.
It's going to be in my mind. It's going to play on
100%.
When the football is coming towards him, he's thinking about catching the football.
How about this? Like if Mike Gardner, like he said on Twitter yesterday, stop talking about Joe Mixon. It's fake. Yeah. I said it's fake news. So, I mean, Joe Mixon.
He would only say that to me.
You have to really look at the situations. But, I mean, to me, Amari Cooper, I'm going to bet on the talent winning it.
I mean, I agree. I want to, but if he can't catch the ball, I'm starting to worry about it because they got to figure it out. I know Del Rio said they worked with him. They talked with him last week. They need to get a sports psychologist in there. I almost think in the huddle, I kind of feel as if, don't get me wrong, I'm not in the Oakland Raiders huddle. If it was, I would dap Marshawn Lynch up. Marshawn Lynch is a hero. Now, with that being said, what I would do, when he's in the huddle, I almost feel as if Amari Cooper's like, I hope they don't throw the football to me. I think
you're right. It's like in baseball when that guy who's a poor fielder is like, don't hit the ball to me. Hit the ball to him and makes the.
I don't think he wants to be involved in the play calling right now. I think he is really, really going through it mentally.
Yeah, and you say like he's thinking about catching the ball when you're in a groove like that. Probably as an athlete, you don't think about it. You just do it. It's instinct.
Oh, by the way, who the hell is Johnny Horton? The only Horton I know is like Horton Hears or Who.
Where Horton's restaurant? Horton's?
Yeah, no. Tim Horton's. Horton's like invading Staten Island. He's everywhere now.
The question is, what do we do with Amari Cooper? Like, we have.
I'm with Corey. I mean, what's going to happen? You're going to say, I'm going to bench him. I need to see him do it first. And then he's going to have that big week on your bench, and you're going to be like, I lost, and I don't have Amari Cooper in there. I don't know.
It gives you an anxious feeling because it's what's called fantasy anxiety because you can't bench him, but then you put him in there and you feel queasy because you just don't know what's going to happen. So like you can't bench him.
That's the problem.
because of the reputation.
Correct.
He has 0-100 games this year.
Let's remember, we have guys that listen to this show that play in 8 and 10 team leagues and don't play in our kind of circuits. They might consider it.
You could probably bench him in the 8-team league.
Yeah, what about a 10-team league?
You might be able to bench him in a 10-team league, too. When you can only start 3 wide, you might be able to bench him.
He had 62 yards in his first week. He has 48 yards in the last 3 weeks combined. That's 100 yards on 110 yards on the season after 4 weeks. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's been brutal. Of course, Michael Crabtree's injury, as Scott mentioned, not helping him. On the other side, Marshawn Lynch, by the way, who, people were ready to crown his back and the best and after week one.
He played Denver Broncos on the road yesterday. That's always.
You got to throw that one away.
Why you can't throw it away on the road versus the Broncos?
What about on the road versus Washington?
Just like
the reverse, if you have a 75-yard run, you can't take it away. Marshawn Lynch has had two stinkers in a row. If you want to be considered at least a respectable running back,
the Raiders have had two stinkers in a row.
Give me at least like 50, 60 yards rushing, something. What was it, 11 yards?
Does he get the ball that much?
Did he even average 2 yards a carry?
He might have carried the ball 4 times.
9 times.
He carried the ball 9 times?
How many yards?
12.
Come on.
Against the Denver Broncos defense.
I don't care. 9 for 12 is not a good game, no matter who you face.
No, he's going to be touchdown-dependent RB2. The past 2 weeks, Raiders ain't been scoring touchdowns. So then Marshawn is irrelevant.
Well, all I'm going to say, though, is in the preseason, he was either like 10 to 12, a most expert consensus that I've seen.
I seen him as high as 5, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's horrible. You don't draft him there. We're better than that, but he's not playing well right now. Marshawn is going to be as good as the Raiders offense.
No, here's the thing too. When the Raiders have been playing well, he's been part of a full-blown committee too. They're really managing his reps.
Hey, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Rams and the Dallas Cowboys, who, you know, a lot of people predicted, Corey, this one was not going to be an easy one for Dallas. I mean, I said it to you that I thought the Rams were going to give Dallas a little bit of trouble, but ultimately Dallas pulled it out. They weren't able to pull it out, but it was a good game yesterday between L.A. and Dallas.
No, it was a good game. You saw Todd Gurley get going. Sean Lee being inactive was really key to you know, to Dallas defense is struggling the way they did. They're not a good defense, but they're horrible without Sean Lee.
Yeah, Jalen Smith's just not ready to take on that monster role that he had yesterday. Let's talk a little bit more about Dallas and Los Angeles here coming up next, and we'll also get into Seattle because Carson's injury coming up this hour as well. So we're going to Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. Rams and Cowboys yesterday. 35-30 victory by LA going to Dallas. The Sean McVay love fest is not going to stop anytime soon. By the way, I do want to note for all those Jeff Fisher haters out there, Rams are 3-1 last year as well. Rams started last year 3-1, remarkably. Yes, Corey.
The difference?
This team's actually like not bad.
This team is not bad.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, this team is currently the best offense in the NFL.
How about that?
Yep, they're the best offense in the NFL.
Why couldn't the Giants sign Sean McVay?
Todd Gurley.
They're the worst offense.
I mean, guys, that might be he continues Miami. Every week to jump over people. Yeah. You watch him. I mean,
he's
playing with a ton of confidence.
Yeah,
though.
He is.
It's you know, he's like really just slicing, you know, through defenses, and you could see, like I've been saying several times, you know, getting Whitworth and Sullivan and improving this offensive line has made a big, big difference. And, you know, Dallas's you talk about the defense, the offense really, really sputtered in the second half. LA's defense, you expected it to be better, but they played very, very well in the second half.
And, Scott, what was the thing you started off with? You could see his confidence. I mean, yeah. I'm a believer in confidence, opportunity in life. You know, stuff like that. And when you get the opportunity, if you have confidence and you seize it. And look, this guy was talented. There was no denying that. It was just last season was horrific. And some of the blame has to go on him for last year. But he's taking it on himself. He has a young offensive mind head coach. And Jared Goff is looking good.
Yeah, he touched the ball 30 times yesterday. And listen, this was his most complete performance, his best performance of the season, over 5 yards of carry.
Maybe his career.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. 121 yards rushing, 200 yards total offense. He is a player that's going to be on a lot of championship teams. Todd Gurley owners have to be thrilled right now. He is getting it done. But you got to go into the register and you break out the receipt book. And the Los Angeles Rams have the best offense in the NFL. They scored 35 points yesterday. And Sammy Watkins had one catch for 17 yards. Sammy Watkins, this is an issue right here. Because this team scores 35 points and Watkins gets one catch. That's a problem.
Well, interestingly enough, Sammy Watkins had one catch. Robert Woods had two catches. So the wide receivers didn't do anything. Corey, you mentioned You mentioned a moment ago, Corey, that one of the major reasons the Cowboys lost was they didn't have Sean Lee.
Yeah.
And what the Rams did was destroy them over the middle with Todd Gurley out of the backfield, with Cooper Kupp, and with tight ends like Tyler Higbee yesterday. That was clearly the game plan, is just target them right across the middle. And that is Cooper Kupp's strength. That is Todd Gurley's strength. And they took advantage of it.
They did take advantage of it, but Watkins only getting two targets is not good. Watkins is an issue.
No, you're 100% right, Corey. Okay. This was a game I thought Watkins could feast. Any thought maybe the concussion thing holding him back?
See, that's the thing about it is you got cleared. So maybe they say, okay, they don't want to target him too much. They don't want another hit to send him back into the protocol. I don't know how. Oh,
look,
I don't know how
that's
you
a stretch.
Did.
I'm just throwing it
you
out there.
You don't know
there.
How I feel you.
Like Greg just mentioned, they didn't have to attack that area.
That was the game plan, man. Yeah, they were throwing it. Higbee made this beautiful toe tap sideline catch. Mm-hmm. Cup in the slot, you know, was facing an undrafted free agent. I knew he was going to eat them up.
I feel like we're making excuses for Sammy Watkins.
No, we're not making excuses for Sammy. What I'm saying is I'm also giving credit to Jared Goff because, you know, every week he's showing that if one guy is not doing it for him, he's going to find other guys that will do it for
like
him. No matter who, took Cooper Kupp away from him
a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, did he need Sammy Watkins? He threw a slant to Todd Gurley, and Todd Gurley took it for a touchdown.
I mean, they scored 46 points versus the Colts. Watkins was 5 for 5. They scored 41 points versus San Fran. Watkins had the big game. They scored 35 yesterday. Watkins gets one catch. In the loss against D.C., Watkins had two catches. He has 14 catches on the season on 16 targets. He is not really an ass. Him and Amari Cooper are in the same boat right now.
Jared Goff is spreading the ball around a lot because that's what a good quarterback does. He spreads the ball around a lot, and that is part of it, too. It's like, you know, he doesn't have to go to Watkins because of his pedigree. If somebody else is open, he's throwing it there.
Scott, I asked you, you know, we talked about this a little while ago with Trevor Siemian, and not this week, he's facing Seattle. Is Jared Goff, with all the buys arriving, some quarterbacks going on by naturally, is Jared Goff somebody you're going to be able to stream?
I think yes. After 4 weeks, you can't say surefire starter.
Right.
But he has played well enough. He's not like Siemian because we have seen him gun the ball downfield. You know, he's getting the protection. He has the support of the running game. The defense is giving him good field position. This is what I talk about. There are two types of quarterbacks. Guys who need good surrounding pieces and others who elevate the play around him. Jared Goff needs good surrounding pieces, and he's got them, so you can stream him.
Someone actually played Jared Goff against me yesterday. So, yeah, people are going to use him. Look, getting back to Gurley real quick, I would still buy on Gurley, but he had Indy, Washington, San Francisco, Dallas. Those were the first four games, and he crushed it. And as I said, I'm still going to buy on him. I'll buy high. Even if the production came down a little, he has Seattle, Jacksonville, Arizona, Giants, Houston, Minnesota. He's going to see a much tougher. I'm just saying, it's going to be a tougher sled ahead as far as defenses are concerned.
But then he can go back to that 2.5-3 yards a carry, but carrying the ball 25 times and catching 5 or 6 passes, the numbers are still going to be there.
That's why they're going to
touch the ball.
If they stuff him up front, they'll get him the ball in space as a receiver.
They're just going to use him.
Sean McVay realizes what Jeff Fisher didn't. You get the ball to your best player, and it doesn't really matter how.
But the team is better, though, this year, though, too.
But I just want
the offensive line is better, and the pass receiving crew is better.
Okay.
I just wanted to make that point, because I've seen on Twitter, you know, after this week, it gets really tough for him. So I think people are trying to say, sell high on Gurley. Now, for me, as Corey mentioned, I'm going to buy. I'll buy high. I don't mind buying high on certain players.
Sure.
I mean, I think that's a thing we don't talk about enough. But the reason I will buy high on him is the volume, the use in the passing game, and he's going to get the red zone touches.
You talk about selling Gurley right now. This is what we go back to, what I've talked about. You're assuming the defense is going to win all of those matchups. Seattle, DeMarco Murray ripped him up. Carlos Hyde ripped him up, right? So what's to say Todd Gurley can't have a good game against them? Jacksonville, we're talking about their defense. The Jets running backs tore them up. You can't assume that Todd Gurley's going to take some sort of significant downturn because the schedule gets tougher. Todd Gurley's playing well enough where he can face up to that.
I think that's the kind of an era with like fantasy where people are always trying to be ahead of the curve, trying to squeeze out the most value possible. Like, look, I drafted him. I got those four great games, and now I turned him into this. You know, this is what I did. I agree. I'm saying I'm not selling him.
Here's another reason not to sell him. We've lost David Johnson. We've lost Dalvin Cook. We don't know who else we're going to get that we're going to lose. We've even lost RB2s like Chris Carson. If all these running backs going down with the injuries, why do I want to get rid of a guy like that? I'm not saying don't trade, but if I have a guy like this who's being a volume stud and running backs are dropping left and right, why do I want to get rid of him?
Yeah, unless you're bringing back Antonio Brown, there's no reason to sell.
Yeah.
And his YPC is now 4.2.
He's getting up there.
Averaging 90 yards a game on the ground, and and the targets are there for
him. He's going to be on a lot of championship winning teams this year.
Let's go to the other side of things. I mentioned quarterbacks. Dak Prescott, I said last week, is a guy that I'm going to feel very comfortable playing a week in and week out, and yesterday proved it once again. Prescott threw for 3 touchdowns in the loss, 252 yards, and Corey, he just has such a complete control of this offense now. He's taking a step forward from last year.
He's a quarterback. He's a quarterback one in fantasy. He's a guy you start each and every single week.
Quarterback one in fantasy, quarterback one in your heart.
Even in
scorecards.
Yeah, in a 12-team league, he's a guy that you start each and every single week, regardless of the matchup. The offensive line is not as good as it was last year. Ezekiel Elliott not running the same. That screen pass in the second half, in the first half, he would normally take that to the house. He could be dealing with a mental thing right now, too, as they go to court tomorrow, right?
I don't know if I totally buy that with Zeke, though, because that first touchdown on the screen, that was an incredible, incredible athletic effort.
Yeah, but something doesn't seem right, and I don't think it's... I agree. When you get stuff on your top of your head...
Yep, it's too much.
It makes a difference. You see it with guys...
Still had 2 touchdowns yesterday.
It was Prince Fielder. The time he had the... He was having a divorce with his wife.
Yeah.
He had that horrible season.
Exactly, he had that bad...
These people are human beings.
He's still playing well overall, though.
No, he is playing well. Don't get me wrong. He's still an RB1 first-round draft pick if you was to re-rack him today. But you just see a couple of plays the past couple of weeks, and you're like, that was a touchdown last year, and it hasn't been happening that way this year.
Listen, Zeke here, 21 carries, 85 yards touchdown.
He should be averaging more than 4 yards a carry also. He should be closer to 5.
Caught 4
that
passes.
That kind of talent.
Caught 4 passes, 54 yards, and a touchdown as well. I will say this. A lot of this came in the first half. A lot of this came in the first half.
Here's the other thing: he's catching passes now too. You know, it's like he's making up for that rushing
game.
You had 9 catches and a receiving touchdown. I mean, 9 PPR points and a receiving touchdown. What you say, he's not getting rushing. He's making up with this newfound versatility that they said they wanted to get for him.
Yeah, real quick with Elliott. 5 receptions week 1, 4-3-4.
Yeah.
You add that onto his...
The numbers are still
numbers are still there, but they could be better. Now, Dez Bryant, 5-for-98. We love it. But on 13 targets, Dez, catch the football more. I don't know what's going on with that situation. That needs to be...
His catch rate is like among the lowest in the NFL right now.
Hey, his catch rate may be one of the lowest in the NFL, but they throw it to him a billion times a game.
You kind of buy on him.
13 targets yesterday, 5 catches, 98 yards for Dez Bryant.
Dak, top 5 quarterback right now, fantasy.
Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about Seattle and the injury to Christmas Carson. That is next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning. And listen, we can all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to 3 guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. All right, so last night, we were not free of the injuries either. Because Seattle and Indianapolis, a good game in the first half. That'll change in the second half. 46-18 victory for Seattle. It was a good game in the second half. I'm sorry, it was a bad game in the second half. They got even worse for Seattle as they lost Chris Carson. To what could be anywhere from a ankle sprain to a high ankle sprain. To a break of the ankle, to God knows what. Chris Carson had 12 for 42 last night before going down with that major injury. And it's frustrating for fantasy football fans because if you watch Carson in the preseason, he was really, really good. And he earned this job. CJ Prosize is hurt. Thomas Rawls inactive. Healthy scratch. They gave this job to Chris Carson because he went out and earned it. That's something that I've always given Pete Carroll for. Because he earned the job, you get it. And that's as simple as that. Carson had gotten that. And here he is. Left the game last night, Scott.
Yeah, and inside injury's initial reaction was they think it's a broken leg. He got carted off in an air cast on his leg. So it certainly didn't look good. As far as what the replacement's going to be, Eddie Lacy was getting some reps last night, even before Carson went out. Like, a lot of them were play-action passes every time he was on the field. But then once he went down, they gave him the ball late, and he actually ripped off a 19-yard run. So I think people are actually going to be picking up Lacy again this week. J.D. McKissic had a receiving touchdown and a rushing touchdown. But if C.J. Procise is healthy at any point or for any game, like, I think McKissic really doesn't get on the field. Rawls was a healthy scratch last night. I think it's going to be a timeshare. Maybe what's going to happen now, it's probably going to be a timeshare between Lacy and Procise. Right now, you know, they're going to give Lacy another look. He doesn't look like a football player, but you know, he ripped off a 19-yard run and had a few good runs last night.
He shocked him with that 19-yard run. He's going to be out there on wires. People are going to be picking him up.
Are you?
I wouldn't trust. No, hell no. I wouldn't. This is I'd leave it alone.
Who would you rather
leave
have?
Leave the Seattle backfield alone.
Who would you rather have, Eddie Lacy or Latavius Murray?
Lat Murray.
Okay.
And I despise Latavius Murray.
I know you do. That's why I asked you. That's why I asked.
I despise, and I got to play him in some places, but it is what it is. Son of a gun.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you got to go with guys that...
that are healthy, really, yeah.
You got a healthy, you don't like, you don't want on your team, yep. But that's how it, that's
I know,
how it feels.
I know you don't like Eddie Lacy to a vehement degree, but can you actually tell people not to bid on a guy that's going to be a starting running back?
We're going to talk about tomorrow, of course, how much you're going to have to bid, yeah. And I agree with you, Scott. I think you're going to have to.
I'm not.
All right.
I'm not. For what?
Because you lost Chris Carson. You lost Dalvin Cook.
The Seahawks are going to throw the football. That's it.
Last night.
Can I bet on Russell Wilson?
They're not going to throw 60 times a game. They're going to give him more running back.
Oh, I don't know, Scott. I think they can throw the ball. How many times did they throw it last night?
26.
That's it?
That's
yeah,
it.
You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? If Lacy doesn't do the job, they're going to give it to Rawls.
Yeah.
Or they're going to start handing the ball to a combination of Procise and McKissic.
Procise's not going to be healthy. Procise can't last a play in any NFL.
I know. Fragile handle with care, but I'm saying in any given week that he's active, he's going to be part of it.
The only thing I'm interested is the passing attack. I don't want no part to the running game.
Last night in the passing attack, it was Tyler Lockett that led the way. 4 catches for 67 yards on 5 targets. Paul Richardson had 3 targets, caught all of them for 65 yards. Dougie Baldwin had just 3 for 35, and his return from injury. Was he limited last night, Scotty?
He didn't look limited at all. They threw the first pass of the game to him. It was like over 20 yards.
Right.
And he was dodging tacklers and stuff like that. It was just a matter of spreading it around.
Second half, he didn't look himself in the second half.
Okay. Jimmy Graham at 4 for 61.
That's
he got 10 points, though.
Glad I didn't cut him for Luke Wilson.
I forgot to tweet you last time. I was going to say, see you, Corey Parson. Luke Wilson scored a touchdown.
But look, I mean, I understand where Corey's coming from. At times, as fantasy players, we get so emotional.
Yeah.
And we just get so angry. And it's like that computer when you're going to send the email and they tell you step away, take yeah. 5
that's a great
10 minutes,
point,
and then come back to it.
I was talking to Matt before the show. And this is why I stay off social media, because like it gets crazy. And usually I want to watch a bunch of games because only one game was on. It was at social media. People were tweeting at me like, should I cut Graham? Should the Seahawks fire Carroll? You know, stuff like that. And I'm like, everybody's overreacting in the first half. The defense is washed up, blah, blah, blah. Jimmy Graham didn't do anything in the first half, and he picked it up in the second half. Big 33-yard reception. You talk about confidence. I really believe in the first few games, Graham's confidence was shaken, and I think maybe he found some of it in the second half last night.
You got crazy followers of that. Well, Pete Carroll fired. That's crazy, yeah. Man. On the other side.
Pete Carroll will leave.
No, but everybody overreacted.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, him and Russell going to be like, I'm about to retire. He'll be like, okay, let me leave first.
everybody overreacts on Twitter. If nobody's doing nothing after the first quarter, you get Evan Tarasciano saying, where is Melvin Gordon? You know, it's just like, you can't let the game over and be over and react, you know?
I'm talking about random Twitter people. You're calling out people. You know what, Scott doesn't like someone.
I love Evan Tarasciano. He's a nice guy, but he reacts 2 minutes within a game if, like, somebody's not doing something.
Let's go over to the Indianapolis Colts we'll probably never get Andrew.
The Indianapolis Colts, that's what it is. Oh, today will be the day he'll say he's not going to practice this week.
The press hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, they're going to say, he's out for week 5.
Not practicing ever.
He was on the sidelines last night.
He's always on the sidelines. He's always standing there. His hand over his heart.
Brissett actually had a good first half.
He did.
But the funniest thing was, you know that 31-yard run that he had downfield?
Sure.
For some reason, the rookie Shaq Griffin like was in the area to tackle him and turned away from him. And everybody's Shaq Griffin is number 26 on the Seahawks, and he's got these long braids flowing out of his helmet. Everybody's tweeting, "Why did Richard Sherman run away from the play?" I'm like, "That's not Richard Sherman. That's Shaq Griffin."
Not everybody's a diehard Seattle fan.
No, but everybody thought it was number 25 with
dreads.
Braids, you know, the dreads from flowing out of his helmet. I'm like, "That's not him." And people are arguing back with me. Ted Schutz is arguing me, "Yes, it was." And Benny Ricciardi saying, "Yes, it was." And go back and watch the film. That's not Richard Sherman.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry you're fighting.
Richard Sherman's new PR man.
Yeah, you
know. No, I'm just saying.
Someone that doesn't need a PR man is probably Richard Sherman. Receiving wise, Corey, you're all about buying T.Y. Hilton, buying T.Y. Hilton. You still buying T.Y. Hilton?
I mean, I'm waiting for Andrew Luck to come back. That's the best I can do.
Keep waiting.
Time out. Now, last week he popped. This is the time to buy T.Y. Hilton. I know you don't believe this guy's ever going to play in football.
Correct.
Does believe in it, and that he's coming back, say, week 8, right, whatever it is, and you're going to get him for the second half? I mean, I want T.Y. Hilton on my playoff roster.
Yeah.
What does he play next week?
I want T.Y. Hilton going down the stretch. I really do. You got to get to the stretch.
He made some key catches last night.
Yeah, but he's not.
When they were in the game,
he made some key catches. He's not going.
This was in Seattle.
T.Y. Hilton should be. It was tough. But then, you know,
he caught a few key first downs.
Okay, three passes total.
Exactly.
They were all over like first down.
Tell me how important they were. They got blown up by 60 points.
No, when they were in the game in the first half, he was making
three passes for 30 yards.
What I'm saying is, though, I think it's a good sign. I go for him going forward.
Three catches for 30 yards is not a good sign for anything going forward.
Look, he made three first down catches last night. I think, you know, when the matchups are not as difficult as this, and I think T.Y. Hilton's going to play better. We had a big game last week, too.
He faced San Francisco next week.
I would buy on him, yeah.
So, I would buy, yeah, I would buy. And then Luck will be back soon. You don't think Luck, like you said, you think
Luck's
career is over.
Will be back
they said he's going to practice this week.
Who said that?
They were talking about it all last night on the broadcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I had not.
He's very confident he's going to practice this week.
Oh, there's Chuck Pagano. He will not practice. I'm just kidding. That's not out there yet. Okay, so there you go. Maybe Andrew Luck will practice. If Andrew Luck's practicing this week, then I'll go buy T.Y. Hilton. But he's probably not practicing this week.
But no, by end of the day.
We'll absolutely probably know in a couple hours. So there you go. Jacoby Brissett, fine backup. I'll say that. Into Seattle, they had a good first half of that. Hell, they were winning going into halftime.
The overreaction, like, it's crazy. It's crazy on social media. Like, they were in the game, and, like, somebody tweeted at me, "Do you think if Brissett keeps playing like this, that Luck will have to fight to get his job back?"
No. I don't think that.
People really overreact on social media.
Pittsburgh destroyed Baltimore. This is another terrible team, by the way. The Baltimore Ravens, they are who we thought they were. There's an absolute disgustingly terrible football team.
Yeah.
They got blown up by their arch rivals. At home, by the way. At home against their arch rivals, they got crushed.
This is not a good situation in Baltimore right now, but this is years of dollar store type management. This is years of letting their best players walk in free agency.
Correct.
This is years of not paying people. This is years of running it like a Dollar General and
Band-Aids.
This is what you get. The offense is pitiful. I do think you got to pick up Alex Collins, though. I think you got
to
pick him up.
I think so too.
I think we said go to Dollar General, though.
I think we said this last week about Alex Collins that like he was looking good. He was one of those guys. Every time he got the ball, he looked good. And I actually looked both my leagues kind of like you did, Scott, before the game started, and I went to pick him up, and ultimately he was owned in both of my leagues before. Unfortunately, so I just
you know why the Ravens didn't bring in Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, because of his girlfriend.
No, because if the Ravens would have brought in Colin Kaepernick right now, they'd have been having the conversation
absolutely
about making him the starting quarterback.
Absolutely,
that's why they didn't bring him in. I think they knew that.
Alex Collins ripped off a 52-yard run. But also, we've seen the problems dated back to college in his Seattle days. He had a fumble yesterday, too. But I think they're going to continue to give Collins the ball because maybe he adds something of a spark to the offense here where Terrence West just can't.
Yeah, and what the hell's going on with Buck Allen?
I mean, but he's getting it done in the passing game. His PPR numbers, he's getting it done in the passing game.
It could be a committee where Alex Collins is getting a lot of the regular carries. Allen is working in the passing game. And West is the guy at the goal line.
Who would you rather own, Buck Allen or Andre Ellington?
That's very close.
I'm going to say Andre Ellington. He's really getting involved as a pass catcher.
I'm going to say Buck Allen, I think. I'm going to say Buck Allen. Terrence West, 4 carries, -7 yards.
Did he have a 2-point conversion?
Sure.
I think he did.
Great.
Did they score 2 points? I didn't know they scored 2 points.
9 points. Oh, okay. -7 yards on the day. I don't even know how it's possible for Terrence West. We'll come back. We'll mention Pittsburgh. I'll ask Corey and Scotty and Matt if Juju Smith-Schuster is somebody that we need to know about. This is Roto Experts Morning.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
All right, back here. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Pittsburgh Steelers. Le'Veon Bell carried the ball, touched the ball. This is what we were waiting for.
Yeah.
Touched the ball almost 40 times yesterday.
I mean, it's a classic Mike Tomlin, feed the ball to Le'Veon Bell.
Correct.
Go in there, get Le'Veon Bell rolling, get the win, get back on the bus, go back to Pittsburgh. What I think is intriguing about this game is the passing game of Pittsburgh. Was like I said, they relied on Bell. The passing game looked off. Brown didn't put up his numbers. We saw Brown blow up on the sideline with Ben. You know what? The what happened last weekend with the national anthem and all of that, I think it affected two teams internally. I think it affected the Steelers, and I think it affected the Raiders.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
The
Steelers, obviously, they didn't come together. I mean, there's that the offensive lineman,
Army Ranger, he came
out by himself. There's a lot of friction there.
He came out by himself. Ben Roethlisberger came out later on in the week and said something.
Effed up. Yep.
And then you had the situation with Mike Tomlin kind of scolding the media, kind of let us get back to football. I think it hurt that team a lot.
I disagree with you.
I think it weighed on the chemistry on that team. I think you could see maybe a little bit of friction. And in Oakland, the same thing. I think the offensive line felt a little bit away about it. Well, Oakland is just a wild place anyway. You know how that go. And I think I think those two teams were the teams that were affected most by it. It takes a lot to play an NFL football game. And sometimes some of these distractions can be a little bit too much of a thing. I think the Steelers and the Raiders were affected by it, and I think you saw that in the passing game yesterday.
I think strategically, too, the Ravens missing Brandon Williams again was big.
Well, like I think like Corey was saying, I think especially last week, because it was the week it happened. That was the week everything went down, right? And Pittsburgh just came out and just stunk last week.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling you're probably right. They just were not together. When you don't play together, you're just not going to play correctly. And I think that affected last week. They kind of went back down to basics and just handed the ball off to the best player a bunch of times. And you saw Antonio Brown go nuts on the sidelines.
On Ben Roethlisberger, on Todd Haley, on
Mike Tomlin.
Now, Todd Haley is a guy that nobody likes anyway. You know what I'm saying?
But he was pissed at Antonio Brown.
Yeah, he was. And I think they may have phased him out a little bit too after that.
I agree with you.
I think they may have phased him out a little bit
after
that.
That was a little surprising to see, though. Because
Brown's a nice guy.
Wide receivers always get ticked off when they feel they're always open and they have diva mentalities. But you never saw that from Antonio Brown anything remotely in the past.
I don't know if that's the case. We have seen it.
If
before
Odell did it, I wouldn't be shocked.
We have seen it from Antonio Brown before. He doesn't get the play that Odell does, but we have seen Antonio Brown be upset on the sidelines before. This was not the first time. Yesterday was very dramatic.
That degree.
Yesterday was very dramatic. I'm not saying it wasn't, but it was not the first time Antonio Brown has complained. And this is the time I totally agree with you, Corey. Took him out of the game after that. He led the team in targets at 9, but it was not the Antonio Brown game that we're used to.
I think internally, that situation last week with the national anthem, I think it threw that team's chemistry off. Mike Tomlin has to bring that team back together.
I'll say this. I am buying Martavis Bryant because they're going to connect for this deep pass soon enough. 5 targets yesterday, 3 for 4.
Is it going to be enough, though? I don't know. I'm disappointed in Martavis Bryant.
You're not in on him? You're not targeting him?
I don't know if I want to buy.
I'm going to look at a lot of the guys I'm disappointed in after 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And reassess. Do I think these guys can do it rest of the season? That's what you have to do. And I agree with Greg. They are going to him. Ben hasn't looked that good. I'll admit that wholeheartedly. And on the road, the Ben came out again.
Yep.
But he is going to Martavis Bryant. So I do believe at some point they connect. This is a guy that didn't play all last year. So, you know, it's the early season. Where do you want to be championship week?
Who do you want? Who would you rather have for the rest of the season? Martavis Bryant or T.Y. Hilton?
T.Y. Hilton.
I'm gonna say T.Y. Hilton, but T.Y. Yeah. Hilton to me is like, you know, if Andrew Luck started the season, I would have been drafting T.Y. Hilton like number seven.
Who would you rather?
I think the problem is Bryant's gonna be very boomer bust.
Who would you rather have the rest of the season, Martavis Bryant or Amari Cooper?
I think Amari Cooper. I think he gets more involved with the flow. Bryant's gonna have his games, but I feel like, you know, you talk about Ben, you know, he's kind of erratic, I think, in terms of production. I think Bryant's gonna be too boomer bust.
Why would you say Amari Cooper over Martavis Bryant?
I just feel like they're gonna work him more into the flow of the offense.
I'm gonna go with Cooper as well.
I think he has a better chance to be more of a consistent presence in the offense, where I feel like Bryant is gonna be boomer bust.
There are some times where we're gonna be stubborn on players, and I'll fully admit that. I mean, I kinda did it last week with Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
I basically prefaced that with I'm being stubborn on with this player. There are guys that you should take over him at this point that I'm still hanging on.
Right.
And like I said, if I have to take the L at some point, I'll gladly put the L up, admit it. I do believe in, you know, being transparent. I do it with all my drafts, you see, with football and baseball. I put it out there. I draft those players.
Is your answer Martavis Bryant or Amari Cooper?
I don't know.
With that, we head to break. And when we come back, is Matt going to stay stubborn on Joe Mixon, or is this the death of Joe? Hour number 3 live on television comes up next.